WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. And you know what today is, folks. It is one of the biggest days in the sporting world. That's right, National Signing Day. Yes, as we speak, many recruits from this great country are signing their national letters of intent and making their mark known to everyone where they will be taking their college football talents. We will break down, everything that's occurred since about, 7 o'clock this morning. We'll be inviting Rico Beard, host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1 FM in Detroit. He will call in to break down what he has seen so far today. Also, we'll recap, we can give you an update on what's taking place out in Ann Arbor right now, folks, as they are hosting their own Signing of the Stars event on the Ann Arbor campus. I kid you not, folks. Wait till you hear what's going down right there out in Ann Arbor. Crazy stuff. We will also talk about the Detroit Lions raising ticket prices for next year, and also an NFL legend diagnosed with CTE, sadly, after his passing. All of that, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to be a part of the show, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 3rd. All right, again, ladies and gents, boys and girls, it is signing day. Yes, Michigan State expected to pull in their biggest recruiting class of the Mark D'Antonio era this morning, according to 247 Sports. The Spartans currently have the number 17 ranked class. If it finishes in the top 20, it will be the first of D'Antonio's tenure. The past few years, the Spartans have recruited all over the country, but this recruiting class heavily favors the Midwest. 5 commitments from the state of Michigan, 8 commitments from the state of Ohio, 6 from the state of Illinois, and various others from the Great Lakes states. We'll have more on Michigan State's signing day recruiting class in just a second. The Michigan men's basketball team fell to number 22 ranked Indiana last night, 80-67, the final of that one. The Hoosiers fueled their victory behind a 25-0 run that was actually pushed to 28-0 during the start of the second half. Again, in the last 9 minutes of the first half is when that run started. Yogi Ferrell placed IU with 17 points and 9 assists. The win keeps Indiana in first place in the Big Ten with 9-1 conference record. The loss snaps Michigan's 4-game winning streak. Next up for the Wolverines is a date with their friends from up the road in East Lansing. That's right, the Michigan State Spartans on Saturday afternoon in Ann Arbor. The Michigan Wolverines women's basketball team heads to East Lansing tonight to take on Susie Merchant's number 17 ranked squad. With their most recent win over Wisconsin, the Spartans are on a 4-game winning streak. Ariel Powers, who scored 30 points against Wisconsin, is now only 19 points away from passing Kristen Rasmussen for 8th on the all-time Spartan scoring list. Michigan is coming off a 92-76 win at home over Minnesota on Sunday. The win broke Michigan's 3-game slide with 4 starters scoring in double figures. It is also National Girls and Women in Sports Day, where the Spartans will celebrate all 13 of their women's programs. Last night, for the first time since the 1995 year, legendary Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski, better known as Coach K, was not on the sidelines for a Blue Devil basketball game. Coach K was not feeling well earlier this week, and after brief tests from team doctors, he was told to head to the hospital due to high blood pressure. He would remain there overnight. After dropping 4 of their last 5 games and falling out of the top 25 for the first time since 2007, Duke rebounded with an 80-71 victory over Georgia Tech. The Detroit Lions announced yesterday that they will be raising ticket prices for the 2016 year marking the third straight year of such a change. Team president Rod Wood announced a modest increase in prices while still emphasizing the cost, quote, ranks in the bottom third of the NFL teams and is one of the best values in the league. This season's price increase comes on the heels of an 8.2% increase following the 2013 season and a 4% rise prior to this season. The Detroit Red Wings, they return to the ice tonight following a week off for the All-Star break as they hit the road for a matchup with the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Puck drop set for 8 p.m. The Wings currently sit tied for second in the Atlantic Division with the Lightning, 7 points behind first place Florida, who the Wings will see tomorrow night. These two teams have met twice this year, both in the D, with the Wings coming out victorious on both occasions. The Detroit Pistons are back on the hardwood tonight with a road meeting against the Boston Celtics at 7:30. The Pistons are coming off a win against Brooklyn Monday night and currently sit in seventh place in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics are playing well as they have won 7 of their last 10 games. Detroit leads the head-to-head series this season 2-1, with the last meeting coming January 6th. Reggie Jackson led the way that night with 24 points, while Stanley Johnson posted a double-double. And last but not least, it was announced that former NFL quarterback Ken Stabler was diagnosed with CTE by Boston University researchers. Dr. Ann McKee said the damage was throughout, with quite severe damage to regions in the brain that had to do with learning, memory, and regulation of emotion. The disease can only be diagnosed after death and is linked to repeated brain trauma. The symptoms include memory loss, depression, and progressive dementia. CTE has been found in dozens of former football players at every position except kicker. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Drums, please.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime.
Well, my boy in college always talked about how he used to do these like bachelorette parties. Mm-hmm. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty sweet. Like, that sounds cool. And he's like, he gets like hundreds bills at the moment,
right,
in college, and we're like, that's big money. So I finally went with him. He always talked about it, and he put this cool cowboy suit on. I was kind of jealous. I was like, dang, you're looking smooth right now. So
he was the cowboy, and what was your role?
I was a security guy. I put a full suit on, tie. I went there like this.
Yeah.
Like, act like, back up. Like, you're too close. Get your hands off him. I was just pretending like that. And we were just
so you weren't supposed to strip. He was going to strip, and you were just going to be security.
Yes, yeah, so I was security. And then every lady there was giving me shots. They were making me drink their beers. So I was participating. I was getting wasted on the side. My friend, he didn't drink in college, so he was always the driver too. So it worked out perfect.
Mm-hmm. And then you ended up dancing for a woman? Is that right?
And then there was like 35 women around in a circle. Next thing you know, I was feeling good. They started cheering for me. I'm good. Next thing you know, they kept cheering, so I kept getting, you know, feeling it more. Next thing you know, I'm taking off my tie, I'm buttoning my shirt, taking my pants off, I'm in my boxers only, and I'm just giving these lap dances out to these ladies. And they're all from ages like 25 to like 45, and
yeah.
It was just hilarious. And next thing you know, I got ones thrown at me and everything. Made like $25.
Sitting with your friends, as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark up nostalgia.
All the kids playing out front. Little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion.
Yes, and that is how we start today's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, and happy National Signing Day. My name is Al Martin, and I wanted to start the show off with a lighthearted note. I happened to be up, you know, up late working as I always am. And last night there was an interview. I never have Conan O'Brien on, but he was on my television late last night. And Rob Gronkowski, of course, famed tight end for the New England Patriots. He was a guest on Conan's show. And I tell you what, Rob Gronkowski has to be one of the funniest athletes I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he's absolutely hilarious. But he goes on to tell a story about how he accidentally became a male stripper for the night. I tell you, and this bite blew up. I was listening this morning to a few shows, and even it was on Dan Le Batard's nationally syndicated ESPN radio show, and they were cracking up about it. But it is everywhere. A hilarious bite. I want to start the show off on a lighthearted note, and that's exactly what that bite entails right there. Okay, so if you didn't get a chance to see Rob Gronkowski on Conan O'Brien last night, it was absolutely hilarious. I encourage you all to check it out. And of course, that was paired with the montage of one of my favorite tracks of all time. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime, because it almost feels like, you know, a bit of spring outside right now. Can you believe that it is the beginning of February right now, folks? And it's about 45 degrees outside. Can you believe that? A little bit odd. I mean, global warming is certainly real, all right? But I hope you guys are enjoying it. It's a beautiful day, and we have a great show in store for you all. Again, we are taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, everyone around town is buzzing about signing day. As you all know, this isn't my favorite day of the year. I must say that. You guys know how I feel about recruiting. But at the same time, when it comes to the world of recruiting, I mean, this is like, you know, this is like the NFL draft. This is like the NBA draft. I mean, this is like, you know, any sort of draft professionally, but for college sports, because this is when you bring in, you know, heralded talent to your team, and then you hone that talent to possibly chase a national championship in the world of college football next year. Who knows how good these kids are going to be? And that's part of the reason why I'm not too big on it, because a lot of these kids are treated like royalty before they've even played a college football game. But they're wooed and swooned by the coaching staffs of many college programs out there so that they can get a commitment from that individual. And we just don't know how good these kids are going to be. I mean, they're kids at the end of the day. Of course, some of them were fantastic. I mean, to play for a Division I football program, you have to be pretty good at the high school level. But at the same time, it is high school ball. You know, high school football wasn't that. It's another level when you go from high school to college, and also when you go from college to the NFL, and when you move up those ranks. And we've seen a lot of times, you know, these national heralded recruits just not pan out at the next level. I'm not a big fan of it, but again, if you can bring in some of the top talent from the high school ranks to your program, you've got a legit shot at a national championship. And the proof is certainly in the pudding when discussing that, because look at a program like Alabama that is just coming off a national championship. Historically, Nick Saban always is either 1, 2, or 3 when it comes to his recruiting classes over the years. And for Michigan State, hey, yeah, you have to have a smile on your face when looking at this commitment list thus far. I'll go through right now just the signees that have signed a national letter of intent. And this is why this is such a big day. And, you know, a catch-22 day for me, because even though I don't like recruiting, this is the day when sort of all of the madness ends, because you can't go back once you sign on that dotted line. This isn't just a verbal commitment where you can say, yeah, I'm committed to the Spartans, but then a week later you're like, I want to reopen things and possibly commit somewhere else. Once you sign that national letter of intent, that's it. Finito. You got to go out there, put on that helmet, and play. I'll roll through exactly what I've been tracking since the wee hours of this morning when it comes to Michigan State's commitment list. And I'll start at 7:32 a.m. That's when A.J. Arcuri, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, 6'7", 274 pounds from Ohio, that's when he signed his letter. Then at 7:48 a.m., Luke Campbell, lineman, 6'4", 275, also from Ohio. Then at 8:05, two at 8:05 actually, you had Austin Andrews, cornerback, 6 feet, 175 pounds from Columbus, Ohio, commit. And at that same time, you had Tristan Jackson, wide receiver, 6'3", 190 pounds from West Bloomfield, Michigan. That's when he committed as well. Then at 8:23 a.m., you had Mike Panaswick. He's a defensive tackle, 6'3", 290 from Roseville, Illinois. 8:31, Brandon Randall, linebacker, 6'2", 205 from Battle Creek, Michigan. 8:58 a.m., Matt Allen, offensive lineman, 6'2", 265 from Hinsdale, Illinois. 9:30 a.m., Naquan Jones. He's a good one, guys. I think he's really going to be impressive when we see him on the gridiron. He's a defensive tackle, 6'4". Get this, 320 from Mount Prospect, Illinois. 10:16 a.m., that's when Josh King, defensive end, 6'6", 230 from Darien, Illinois. He signed. 10:40 a.m., you had Justin Lane, wide receiver. He's 6'3", 170 from Richmond Heights, Ohio. 10:47 a.m., Demetric Vans, he's a safety, 6'2", 193, out of the D, Cass Tech High School. And at 12:11 p.m., you had Noah Davis, tight end, 6'5", 242 from Cincinnati, Ohio. That's when Noah signed. And also, interesting news that came down the pipeline concerning who was expected to be a Michigan State signee, but that isn't going to pan out, at least today. One of the players committed to MSU since June will not be signing today, that being Austin Robertson. He's a defensive end from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He committed actually on July 7th, but as signing day approached, it became apparent that he would not be signing right away. Allen County court records show that Robertson was arrested for battery on January 13th and is facing criminal misdemeanor charges. Court records show that Robertson was released on January 18th on a $750 bond and had an initial hearing on January 19th. On that same date, a no-contact order was issued and another hearing was scheduled for February 11th, which is now just days away. And he actually tweeted this out this morning at 10:45 a.m. Austin Robertson said this, quote, "Michigan State is still my number one, but I am reopening my options." Again, he committed to MSU in June over offers from Ohio State, Alabama, and others. This kid is very talented. He's 6'5", 260 pounds. He's offensive end, part of an impressive hall of defensive linemen recruited by the Spartans for this year's class. It remains to be seen whether or not there is potential for Robertson to wind up at Michigan State. So I wanted to just kind of give you guys a rundown on who has officially signed right now. Again, you know, you talk about four stars like Cameron Chambers. Also want to note, you know, Donnie Corley, wide receiver from Detroit, Michigan, played for Detroit King. I saw him actually in the state championship game with that game-winning haul-in. It was like it was Randy Moss out there, in which his team beat Lowell to win a state championship. Donnie Corley, one of the very few that I've seen on this list in person. Tristan Jackson, he's a four-star as well. Messiah DeWeaver, Justin Lane, Josh King, Naquan Jones. Those are some of the early signees. So, bottom line, when it comes to Michigan State's recruiting class, folks, this is by far Mark D'Antonio's most impressive. And I'm just getting news here. I'm just seeing in our notes here that Rashawn Gary just committed to Michigan, number one defensive tackle in the nation from New Jersey. So that's news on the Michigan side of things. We're going to get to Michigan in just a sec. But right now, D'Antonio has hauled in a lot of players. Literally, it's been a crazy busy day for me already, but right when I get off the air, I'm going to finish writing my script for the TV show. Then I have to go to Spartan Stadium for Mark D'Antonio's presser, which begins at 3 p.m., in which he will introduce the members of his new recruiting class. Again, you can catch extended coverage of that press conference and more. I'll be sure to put it on WKAR.org. But I tell you what, Isaac, this has been such an eventful recruiting day, one of the most memorable I've ever seen, because not only is this Michigan State's biggest recruiting class of the Mark D'Antonio era, but I shot you a link on our rundown page, and it just really just blew my mind just how big Michigan's signing, quote unquote, signing with the stars, signing day with the stars has become. It's actually still going on. If I click right here, it's still going on as we speak. It looks as though Michigan is holding this event in like an auditorium of some sort. But, I mean, you're talking about names like Mike Shanahan, Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, Todd McShay, Ric Flair. I mean, they were all in the house for this event to unveil their latest class, which is right now slated to be the number 4 recruiting class in the entire nation. Say what you will about Jim Harbaugh and the way he's gone about, you know, with the sleepovers and whatnot, and the way he's gone about recruiting certain kids from to his program. But at the end of the day, it's hard to ignore what the Wolverines have also done on this signing day as well. Very impressive. This is a signing day that unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, you talk about like big screen LEDs. It's like an award show. There's not an empty seat in the crowd as well. It's really unbelievable.
Well, not only is it opulent, not only is it ostentatious, but it worked. You saw Rashawn Gary.
I love the big words. Ostentatious and opulent. Oh, look at Isaac bringing out the Webster's dictionary.
Well, that was my first contribution of the day. I had to come big, just especially if we're talking about U of M's recruiting day, because they came even bigger. Rashawn Gary, that is the number one recruit in the nation. And they pulled him over Alabama, over Clemson, the two teams in the national championship game. And Michigan is coming off a year which, yes, was impressive. But to spurn the title winners and the runner-ups for University of Michigan, it shows how great the perception of this team is right now in the national eye. Because this is a kid from New Jersey. He's not even from Michigan. And he's such a combination of speed and strength in the inner line, and he's going to just have a grudge match against anybody who lines up across from him. That is a huge signing for University of Michigan. Then I just see a Michigan football tweet right now. I'm on the Detroit Free Press website. David Long, the number 18 overall player in California. Welcome to New Blue or whatever. So, You know, Michigan, all of this, it's weird, it's unconventional, and it works.
It's working.
So,
yeah,
that's all you can say at the end of the day. Harbaugh has done his job.
Because how cool is that, though? I mean, they have Ric Flair in the house, and they have all of these big names coming out and introducing the new class. I mean, if I'm a kid in high school and Ric Flair came out and said, hey, we are going to introduce Al Martin, you know, 5'11" wide receiver from Annapolis High School. How cool is that? That's an unbelievably cool thing that not many kids get to experience. Jim Harbaugh knows what he's doing, and he's not afraid to go a different route to do it, to woo these kids. Very cool stuff. Again, call in, folks, 517-355-9527. I also want to play two bites really briefly here. Here was Mark D'Antonio on the Big Ten Network talking about this year's class. Here he is this morning.
You know, you really need to worry about the ones you get. Concentrate on the ones you get. You know, we didn't have a lot of scholarships this year. Got three seniors actually coming back again for 6th years. So that's going to, you know, make our football team stronger. So we haven't had the numbers, so we were stretching a little bit to go over. So our numbers are just right, and we're very excited about our class.
So, again, that was Mark D'Antonio this morning as he talked about this year's upcoming class for the Michigan State football team. And, Isaac, you noted something very interesting just now. We're going to go from Mark D'Antonio, very even keel, cooler than the other side of the pillow, not real excited. You know, it's really rare when you see Mark D'Antonio flip a wig, right? But we're going to go from Mark D'Antonio to now the over-energetic, to say the least, Ric Flair. Here's a bite from, again, signing with the Stars out in Ann Arbor.
And I made up my mind I was never leaving Ann Arbor. Jeez. Woo! Man, in this town, you can stay all night and you can stay a little longer. So here I am, all these years later, Coach Spurrier, who Coach Holtz knows I've loved my whole life, retired this year because I wanted to jump on the bandwagon so bad, and Coach Spurrier left the Gamecocks, so I'm right here, and I'm blue, baby. I'm blue. You're stuck with me, man. I can't stand Ohio State. I got no time for Michigan State. And I know Bubba Smith, I'll tell him right to his face, Bubba, forget it, buddy. This is the blue, and I'm so proud to be here and so honored that you guys have given me this recognition.
Check out Ric Flair taking shots, right? How great was that? Again, that was Ric Flair, again, the signing with the Stars event that is still taking place out in Ann Arbor right now. It's crazy. I'm looking here right now. Denard Robinson, Shoelace has just walked out. He's about to announce a few more recruits. But it's really unbelievable. I'm pretty sure this is going to be all over ESPN because I have never seen a signing day quite like this. Set up like an award show. I mean, and the production behind it, this is something that could air right now on national TV. Really unbelievable stuff. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. In just a second, we'll be chatting with Rico Beard, host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1 FM in Detroit. Rico, of course, is a recruiting guru. We'll get his thoughts on recruiting day thus far in just a second. But right now, I want to go to the phone lines right now. I'm curious to get this guy's thoughts on recruiting day, especially what's taking place out in Ann Arbor as we speak. Our good friend Ray is on line one. Ray from Indiana. Ray, welcome to the show.
Hey, I've been watching recruiting for 40 years. The Bullies have always had a top five recruiting class. Don't get all excited about some recruits that haven't showed a thing on the field yet.
And I say this every year, Ray. We've been doing this show for what, going on 3 years now? I hate, with the core of my soul, the recruiting world. I think that it's so overblown. It's so overhyped. How many times have we seen two-star recruits come out and just be the creme de la creme at their position? We've seen it multiple times. We've seen it at Michigan State multiple times. So I'm not flipping my wig over recruiting day. But at the same time, you got to admit what U of M has done, especially being ranked 50 in recruiting last year. They were ranked 50 last year, Ray, and now Jim Harbaugh, I guess you can say, putting him back on the wagon at number four.
Harbaugh didn't come in until the end of December last year. Of course they're going to be way down, but I'm going to tell you something. A lot of those kids that come in and they don't like that defensive tackle, he's not happy in a year or two. I've seen him get defensive tackles before and they end up going to Clemson or Ohio State or somewhere after a year or two. So don't get all excited about that he's going to stay there. And also that they can't keep their grades up, they get in trouble, any of that stuff.
Right. I hear where you're coming from, Ray. But you got to give props where props is due as well. It's very impressive when you look at the list of recruits at Michigan and Michigan State. I mean, a lot of these kids are very talented. It's hard to ignore that, Ray.
Yeah, the Indiana gave you the blueprint last night of how beating the Bullies, okay? When you play them Saturday, you need to pound the ball inside and get the outside shot and just watch them on the three-point line like Indiana did. You see how all the fans ran out on them after halftime, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched that game up until about the third quarter, and then that 25-0 run that took place at the end of that first half, Indiana really, really just gave it to that team. Impressive outing for Yogi Ferrell and Tom Crean and that whole team.
Did you see all the fans running out in the third quarter?
Yep, I saw it. They were hitting the exits. I remember Mike Tirico
and
Dan Dockage.
That's what they'll do next year of football. Hey, yeah. Kurt Warner comes Saturday. I'm telling any of the writers out there, let's get it right. This guy's got the top three passing records in Super Bowl history. He's got the number two ranking of all time in NFL quarterback rating in the history of the game next to Bart Starr that won 8 world championships with the Packers. He took the St. Louis Rams that are now in L.A., and he took the Arizona Cardinals, two of the worst franchises ever before he got there, ever since. And you see how they got destroyed with 7 turnovers. Kurt Warner never did any of that stuff.
Yeah, and so this Saturday is when they announce the class for next year.
7 a.m. to 9 p.m. It'll be on between 9 and 11 on CBS the night before the Super Bowl. They'll announce 5 guys that got in. You got to have 80%. That's really hard. You got to have 38 out of 46 writers. He got down to the last ballot last year. They said he didn't do enough. I hedged a Mike Ditka said, if he ain't a first ballot Hall of Famer, I don't know who the hell is. So I hope they get it right. If you're any of the writers listening out there, let's put Kurt Warner in so we can watch that Kurt Warner movie that never came out for 2.5 years, and I think they want it to have a happy ending. So let's hope they do it right this time.
All right, there we have it. Kurt Warner's biggest fan, Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much for your
call. Thank you, buddy. God bless you.
All right, you too. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show. Rico will give a breakdown on his thoughts on today's signing day concerning the Spartans, Wolverines, and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports.
High school football has always demanded sacrifice, but as players and families learn more about concussions, attitudes are changing.
Every Friday night, there's the games, and then Mom and I would go have dinner. And after dinner, it was just like a sigh of relief that there wasn't an injury that night.
A football family calling it quits. That's later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered today at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
Breaking news.
Just take us back to when you first realized something was going on.
Correspondence on the ground.
You have on your roof a Gowrie missile.
Interviews with people that matter.
Think he's going to win? He still thinks he's winning.
And analysis from experts.
What can we do that we're not now doing?
Making sense of the world in 60 minutes.
This is an incredibly complex, murky, difficult field.
NewsHour from the BBC.
This afternoon at 4 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know what, Isaac? I've been reading a few forums this morning as well, and I tell you what, I get the feeling that there are many fans of Michigan State that over the years have become very spoiled as well. I mean, again, this will go down as probably the most heralded recruiting class in the D'Antonio era, without a doubt. But they're crying over really some sour grapes here. And I'm looking at a few forums. There are like three forums in which there are a ton of individuals talking about how D'Antonio just kind of blew it on three recruits specifically here. Auburn football, they announced the signing of Prince Sammons, a defensive end from Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy. MSU made a late push for Sammons. He's 6'8", who could also play offensive tackle in college. Rivals.com reported that defensive end Karamo Diabate, I think I'm saying that right, of Philly, had dropped MSU from his list of finalists. MSU also got in late on the former Penn State commitment who was down to South Carolina and Temple at the end. And also four-star Detroit King corner LaVert Hill, who picked Michigan over Michigan State and Penn State. So I feel a lot of people are on forums here a bit upset at those three recruits in particular and are completely not looking at the big picture here at what Michigan State has already signed today. I don't understand. I just think that with the success that this program has had over the years, some fans just don't get it. I don't know.
Recruiting day is a show. That's what it is. That's all it is. It does not take away anything from what Michigan State has done over this entire past year in terms of recruiting. Although another name you didn't mention was Austin Robertson, who failed to commit to the Spartans today.
Right, because of his whole situation.
His commitment, yeah.
Well, so, you know what happened with Austin Robertson. I mean, the whole thing
totally
with battery. And,
of course.
Yeah, exactly. I just gave a count on that. But yeah, exactly.
That makes sense too. But Michigan State, they've done outstandingly this window in terms of recruiting. And what I think it is a lot of Michigan State fans still have the little brother syndrome. They're upset about how much attention Michigan's getting, how big their recruiting day has been. And you know what? That's great. But you have to respect what you have. And that's a top 20 recruiting class for the first time in a few years for MSU.
Very, very true. All right, let's get to our guest for today's show. He is certainly a recruiting guru, to say the least. He is the co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1 FM in Detroit. You can catch it weekdays from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Rico Beard, how you doing, bruh?
Good, Al. Who's that co-host with you?
That's Isaac. You never met Isaac? You know Isaac
Constance. You know me, Rico.
Okay, No. He sounded different when he called me.
Oh, okay.
Isaac nailed it, man.
Yeah.
Isaac is the smartest person in the room right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Rico. Appreciate
Michigan
that.
State fans. No, it's not a slight to you, but Michigan State fans, a lot of them are idiots. And Michigan State, this is where you scratch your head. They still are probably the most insecure fan base out there. Mm-hmm. Because they can't even accept their own merits without looking at somebody else. Because you just landed D'Antonio's best class ever. Mm-hmm. But you didn't get these three guys today, and that means we're a bunch of losers. No, that means you just didn't get three guys. You don't get everybody. But recruiting is more than just who you get today. Because I would ask any Michigan State fan, okay, would you rather have any of the three guys that you missed out on today or Donnie Corley?
Right.
And I'm quite sure they would all say, no, we want Corley. Then shut the hell up. You got a great class.
I agree. I'm with you.
They're so hell-bent on, well, look what Michigan is doing. And Michigan just got this guy and this guy, and they're doing all of this stuff. And it's like, you know who's missing from the signing of the stars?
Who's that?
Paul Bunyan.
Very, very true. Very true, Rico. And I want to ask you this because this isn't my favorite day of the sporting year, Rico, because I think recruiting in general is a bit overhyped. I get tired of the whole antics that go along with it. I'm watching this whole feed, which is broadcast right now. I'm on Freep.com watching the University of Michigan signing with the Stars, and it's this huge event. It looks like an award show, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you, Rico, do you like the antics and all the extracurriculars that come along with signing day? What are your thoughts on that?
It's like everything. Al, it's like nothing is the same as how it used to be when you were a kid. Everything evolves. Everything is bigger. Everything. And I mean, you look at movies that you used to like back in the 90s, and you look at them now like, wow, that was special effects then, because now special effects are woo. So you're always trying to one-up. You're always trying to outdo somebody. And what Jim Harbaugh did at Ann Arbor, trust me, about 5 to 10 other schools are going to be doing that next year. That's going to be the new Midnight Madness.
You think so? So you think Jim Harbaugh just set a trend here with the whole event that he threw today? Because I feel like too. You're going to see a few other schools doing this, I think. To be able to compete, you got to one-up that.
Right. He just changed the game. So now when you sit in the recruit's house, he's like, well, are you guys going to do something like Michigan did? You better be able to say yes.
Right.
Because if not, that could be the difference. Well, Michigan's going to have Derek Jeter there, and they're going to have, Tom Brady there. So, yeah, you may see a day where D'Antonio was like, well, okay, we'll have Le'Veon Bell, we'll have Magic Johnson, we'll have Kirk Cousins. We're going to bring in all of our guys to show you that, hey, we got people too. We're going to, bring in Gerard Butler from 300 and have him come out there and yell your name and go, Aru. We're going to do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Just too much, man. Just too much. So Rico, I want to get your thoughts. We'll start with Michigan State first. Thoughts on what has taken place so far today concerning those who have officially signed. Again, I want to remind folks again that D'Antonio will be having an official press conference at 3 p.m. at Spartan Stadium to talk about his latest signees for the recruiting class. But what are your thoughts on the signees, those who signed that national letter of intent to become Spartans?
I think this is one of his best class. I think you got a lot of kids who are going to make an instant impact. Cam Chambers, Donnie Corley are going to see the field immediately at wide receiver. I think Kenny Like, the safety, you're going to see him. Demetric Vance, the safety out of Cass Tech, he's going to see the field too. A lot of these guys, you're not going to see because they're going to redshirt and you're going to forget about them. And you won't care anymore. But that's just the nature of recruiting. Because today, everybody's a winner. But in theory, only about 5 of these kids are going to play next year. The rest, you stockpile, and you sit them down. And then come in the following few years, you're like, oh, I forgot about him. I forgot he was on the team.
Right.
So that's that's the nature of the beast. But no, I think they did well. They got Messiah the Weaver, so it's always good when you get a quarterback. You get the top quarterback and the top wide receiver out of the state of Ohio to go along with the top running back from last year in L.J. Scott. So you got a good job there. He went and struck gold with the two linebackers he brought in. Brandon Randall went from a nobody out of Battle Creek to the Army All-American game. Joe Bocci from Ohio, once again, I don't know if you've seen him, but this cat looks like he can play right now. Like,
he's
this
ready.
Dude is cut.
Right.
Like, man, I wish I went through high school looking like him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, man, your muscles got muscles on it.
Right, right.
So,
right.
And then the defensive line, I think they, you know, and bringing in Josh King. Josh King was somebody that I know they have been interested in for years. Mm-hmm. When he was a sophomore, they pointed out, like, hey, this is somebody that, in order for Michigan State to win championships, you need to get a guy like Josh King. But I figured, once an Alabama kicks in, you're not going to beat Alabama. Well, Alabama kicked in. He still said, no, 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 going to Michigan State. So, overall, they're bringing in a lot of high-level people that, over the next few years, will be the next foundation of that next generation of teams that are still competing to win the Big Ten championship, getting back to the college football playoffs, and hopefully this time, having a better doing a better job in the game. But yeah, I like the class that they got coming in. You didn't get the three guys, but okay, you missed out on LeVert. LeVert's a good kid, and it came down to, do you want to play with your brother for 1 year, or do you want to play with your best friends for the next 3-4 years? Mm-hmm. He chose to go with family. You can't really get mad over that.
No, you can't. You can't argue with that notion at all. And, you know, Rico, with you being out in the D and having a close ear to, again, a lot of these prospects that come from Detroit, I should say, I want to get your thoughts on Donnie Corley, wide receiver from Detroit King, from the D, and also Demetric Vance. I got a chance to check out Corley, like, literally, right before I went on the team, 92-1, to do play-by-play for our respective game that Thanksgiving weekend. I was chimed in with Eric Doc Love to that Detroit King versus Lau High School football game. I saw the Corley catch in the back of the end zone, one of the sickest catches I've seen in person at a high school football game, let alone for a state championship. I mean, how good do you think Corley and Vance will be?
Well, for Corley, Al, you're going to see catches like that all the time. They did a 7-on-7 thing over the summer, and he made an Odell Beckham Jr.-like catch. And I happened to get it. It was funny because this kid bothered me all night long. He kept texting me. I'm like, Donnie, I'm at dinner right now. Can I please get you this when I get home? Oh, okay. But make sure you get it to me and slow-mo it down. And I'm like, Donnie, I'm eating once again.
Oh, so you had footage. You had footage of one of the catches he had.
Right. And it was Odell Beckham. It was a one-hand catch like that.
Okay.
This kid is so into getting better. He's blown off, you know, parties, and he's blown off events because he's all about getting out on the field or in the gym or doing whatever he can to be the best wide receiver. You're never going to hear the term lazy with Donnie Corley because he wants to be the best, and he's driven by that. And this guy practices making those spectacular catches. I've seen him do it. So don't be surprised over the next 3-4 years at MSU. If you like what Aaron Burbridge did this year, just wait, because it's going to get a little better.
Wow,
you just wait.
And
as far as Demetric Vance, this kid he's that hard-hitting safety, kind of like that you had with Curtis Drummond. You're not going to want to come across that middle. Plus, he can cover. I mean, he's got pro written all over him, and I don't really like throwing out things like that, but he does. And I'm not the only one, because as I say, the greatest compliment I think Demetric Vance ever got, and you got to be from Detroit to truly get this, but he plays for Cass Tech. When the Martin Luther King coaches pointed at him and said, you see that guy number 8 and pointed to Vance, that guy's a pro. He is a pro right now. He will play on Sundays. That's getting respect from your hated rivals, saying, that guy is good, and he is. He does. So long as he stays healthy, I think he's got NFL written on him.
My goodness. Looking forward to checking out both of those players. All right. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1 FM. So, Rico, just talking about recruiting in general, because even the weeks leading up to signing day, there were two big stories that got negative spotlight when it comes to the University of Michigan and what Jim Harbaugh's program is all about. And that is concerning, of course, the Rashad Weaver and Eric Swinson stories, in which they criticize. Well, looking at the other side of this, though, because especially looking at the Swinson story, because he came out and actually defended. It looked as though he defended Jim Harbaugh's program and saying, hey, this is the way the process is. But with both stories, there are legitimate criticisms inside of each of them, because it seemed as though there was lack of communication when it comes to their respective recruiting processes. I want to get your thoughts on both the Weaver and Swinson stories, as well as how do you make the recruiting process better?
Well, I do think it was a lot of lack of communication. Michigan is going down roads. They're going down a road that I really hope they're prepared to go down, because once you do this type of stuff, there's really no going back. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that they did anything illegal, but now you're going to have your character questioned, because now you're going to start doing things the SEC way. And SEC normally means, oh, you're dirty. Well, you're not necessarily dirty, but as I like to say here on my show, you're dusty. You got dust on you. Mm-hmm. You're not dirty, but you are dusty.
Right.
You're not doing things always the ethical way. And with those two, look, those two kids were on campus plenty of times this year watching games. At some point, somebody could have called them in the office and said, hey, son, you're not going to come up here. Eric, yeah, we're going to move on from you. And that's fine. You don't have to take every kid. But give him a chance to really go out there and see what else is out there. Now, for Eric Swinson, I actually think he won, because he ends up at Oklahoma, a team that was in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. So I think that for him, it ended up working out. But for Michigan, I would question the timing, because both kids were on campus. And that's when you should break it to them. We don't have room for you. Don't wait until 2 weeks beforehand. That's just wrong. That's one of those, you don't want it. If it was your son, you would be up in arms. And for every Michigan, oh, well, you know, Jimmy knew it and the kid knew. Well, okay, first of all, the kid, well, it was all over the internet. The kid shouldn't have to subscribe to a website to find out about his recruiting.
Yeah, that's
I think
so
that's
bad.
Fair.
Right.
I shouldn't have to go on Rivals and Scout to find out how the coaches feel about me. The coaches should man up, pick up the phone, and say, this is what we want to do. If it were up to me, I think the easiest thing that you could do is have a early signing period like they do in basketball, with the caveat of on September 1st or August, let's just say August 25th, mm-hmm. there's a signing day. Now, on August 25th, you can sign with your school. This would force schools to do a better job of recruiting early and not wait to this last second first like they do now. It will require kids to take official visits starting maybe of January of their junior year. And you also put in there that if the coach gets fired or leaves for another job, you can go out and do this all over again. You would be released from your scholarship. I think if you did that, that's a win-win for everybody.
I agree. That's the same remedy, actually. When we had Paul Canindike of SpartanMag.com, he was on the show last week. He offered that same remedy that you just so eloquently stated, Rico. All right, before we get you out of here, I want you to kind of break down next year's MSU football team. Just kind of a brief summary. I want to know, what is this year's MSU football team going to miss the most, and how do they combat that?
Well, you're going to miss probably the most hated man at the NFL Combine. You're going to miss Connor Cook. And I'm quite sure it'll be Connor Cook's fault, because he graduated, why Michigan State will stumble, because everything's Connor Cook's fault now.
right. Everybody seems to be, and that's the thing, you know, I brought up last week. Everybody has this, I guess you could say, perception that Connor Cook is the big bad wolf. And I'm trying to figure out, when did this perception start to happen? I think maybe with the Archie Griffin trophy snatch. I don't know.
No, Al, if you burnt the eggs this morning, or if you got into an argument with your girl, it's Connor Cook's fault. It's everything is Connor Cook's fault. Stuff going on overseas, that's Connor Cook. It is.
Right.
And in hindsight, I wonder if he could do it over again with D'Antonio just walking that meeting and say, you know what, we're going to make Connor Cook the fourth captain. Mm-hmm. we're just going to make him the fourth captain. And none of this is even brought up.
So you think that's the root of it right there, not being a captain this
year? That's it, because he's your three-time starter as a quarterback, and he's never named captain, and his teammates got to pick the captain. So apparently you must be a jerk because your teammates don't like you. So if they don't like you, then you're a bad person, and now you look at all this Johnny Manziel stuff, so now you got people wondering, well, is he going to be the next Johnny Manziel? So that's what's going on with Connor Cook. But I think that this next year's team is going to miss Cook a lot. How quickly can they settle in on a quarterback? Because in game two, you're going to start off with Furman, but Notre Dame is going to say a lot. If you somehow can go into South Bend and upset the Irish, because I do believe Notre Dame will be favorite. If you upset the Irish, then your season comes down to two games again. And you win those two games like you did this year, and you get another shot at the college football playoffs, and hopefully you'll have a better showing.
All right, well, there you have it. Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1 FM. Weekdays from now, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. When did that change happen, Rico? You guys are on at 8 a.m. now?
Yeah, man. Thanks for listening.
Dig that, brother. Well, you know, I can't. I, at 8 a.m., I'm still, you know, in dreamland. I usually wake up around like 9 or 10-ish. But 8 a.m. to 12.
That must be nice, man.
Oh,
well,
man.
I know you got. I know it's tough doing that one-hour show, Al. I know.
It is.
You need Gatorade right after.
But 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., that's fantastic. So now on for 4 hours. You can follow him at Rico Beard. Rico, thanks so much for your time, dude. I'll see you soon.
All right, man. Talk to you.
All right. Let's hit a brief second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's show by chatting briefly about last night's Michigan and Indiana men's basketball game. Also, the Detroit Lions raising ticket prices. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports.
The BBC World Service.
You're listening to the newsroom.
This is Clip.
Welcome to assignment.
Welcome to From Our Own Correspondent.
Hello and welcome to Global Business.
Welcome to Hard Talk.
Welcome to The Wire Factor.
This is Science and Action.
Welcome to More or Less.
Welcome to Outlook.
It's time for Witness.
Hello and welcome along to The Arts Hour.
Great to have you on World Have Your Say.
Welcome to Sport Today.
BBC News.
The World Service from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we have less than 10 minutes left in the show. We are still taking your calls. Let's go to line two right now. We've got John from Jackson on the phone. John, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, no problem. Thanks for calling.
I've just been wanting to say for a couple weeks here that I understand the Harbaugh situation and how he recruited, and I'd hate to have a son that got cut like that. But I think what happened is I think some guys that they weren't expecting kind of fell in their lap. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, they had a numbers game there, and they thought, well, are you going to not accept the guy that's better than the guy that you had? Or what are you going to do? Are you going to be Mr. Nice Guy and play it right and not take a guy? Or what are you going to do when they kind of fall in your lap?
Right, he had to make some room. And again, from a moral standpoint, is it right? No, not at all. From a business standpoint, again, the recruiting process allows for that. From a moral standpoint, not right at all. But Jim Harbaugh, at the end of the day, I mean, he's in the business of winning. And
right.
If you have to do that, you have to do that. So I definitely see where you're coming from there, John.
Yeah, and I'm sure the athletic director, the president of the college, and the fans and the alumni, they don't care.
No, not at all. They're just looking
the
at that number
players.
Four. Yeah, they're looking at that number four next to Michigan's recruiting ranking right now and just smiling from ear to ear. That's all that matters at the end of the day. It's unfortunate because, again, at the end of the day, John, you're talking about kids here. But, again, Harbaugh, I guess, is just doing his job.
Yeah. And about last night's game, my word, that I think last night just showed how unathletic Michigan's team is. because Indiana's athleticism really, really showed last night. And I think in the Penn State game, even last Sunday, Penn State showed how to defend Michigan's threes. They play the three-point line and make them beat them inside, and they're not going to do it.
No,
they're not good inside.
Right.
So if Michigan State plays them the same way and make them beat them off the dribble, or, you know, don't let them shoot those threes. Play that three-point line with three guys out there. That's the way to defend them, because they are very weak inside.
Give us an early prediction on that game on Saturday. Who do you got, John, in that game?
Is that Michigan?
Yep, at Michigan.
Oh, boy.
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I would favor Michigan State.
I think so, too.
Because of the inside game.
All right. Thanks a lot, John, for your call. Appreciate that.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, and I have to agree. I mean, looking at last night's game, Isaac, both you and I mean, you actually predicted Michigan to win by double digits.
I
chose Michigan to win by single digits. I thought it was going to be a much closer game than what it was last night. But I watched that entire game up until about, you know, like the waning minutes of the second half. And there was a moment in which really sparked that whole 25-0 spurt by Indiana in the first half. And, looking at Indiana's defense was not great to start that game. Michigan able to come out. They were really feeling it. You know, guys were hitting from everywhere. Tom Crean pretty much had an aneurysm on the sidelines, went crazy, calls a timeout, immediately stares down. Yogi Ferrell gets in his grill, and then what happens? It seemed like the whole team just got a jolt of energy. They came out, they played in-your-face defense, clogged up those driving lanes, and Yogi Ferrell put on a magnificent show. When it came to scoring, I mean, I think that to spark that run, he had an easy layup that right down the middle of the lane. Then he comes back and, you know, he challenges the middle of the lane, and then he finds a cutter right to the basket. That's a dunk. Then on the very next possession after that, Yogi comes down and throws an alley-oop, penetrating right in the middle of the lane once again. Yogi Ferrell was the catalyst of that run. And he just kind of just put the team on his back. And it started, though, on the defensive end. Because once Indiana started clogging those lanes, it opened up things on the offensive end. And Yogi Ferrell just said, give me the basketball. And he responded to Crean calling him out. That was really like the prime storyline of last night.
Well, and that's the difference. Indiana had a star while Michigan did not. You and I talked about the good, fluffy side of Caris LeVert being out. And that's that everybody can step up around him. Here's the ugly side of that. When Michigan was scoreless for over 10 minutes. Nobody could answer the bell. Nobody could score the point that they needed to break themselves out of that slump. So Yogi Ferrell and Indiana ran away because they had the star power. They had the players who could make something out of nothing when everything was going wrong.
Starting with defense, because Indiana's defense was some of the best I've seen all year in the Big Ten. It was amazing.
They didn't start off that good, just though. They didn't.
Because their defense wasn't there. If you look at the tape from the very beginning of that game, I mean, guys were so lax by Indiana. I mean, just kind of standing up, not really in defensive formation. And then all of a sudden, again, that timeout happened, and Crean, I don't know if you saw it, but Crean, it was like Izzo on the sidelines. He lit into his team, especially Yogi. He immediately goes at Yogi, and Yogi just kind of has his head down. He's like, all right. Then they come out, and it was just an entirely different mindset. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, and when we look at this game in the grander scheme of things, this could be a turning point for Indiana's season because they hadn't really faced tough opposition up until now, and they showed out against Michigan, and that 25-0 run or 27-0, I think, between halves, that's a turning point for any team no matter how you slice it.
And that's been the knock on Indiana this year, Isaac, that they haven't played any of the big dogs just yet. But I love the comment that Dan Dockich had during last night's broadcast with Mike Tirico. It's not who you play. It's how you play. In Indiana right now, I mean, you can say that they haven't played anybody, but the way they've played and the way they've gotten to this point in the year has been very impressive. Very impressive. Folks, wow. A minute left in the show. We have to bid you all adieu. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. We have a two-part guest for you. I talked with Trevor Manuel. He's out in California right now. He's transferred out there. And I spoke to his dad. Trevor Manuel was going to talk about the decision to transfer from Oregon. You don't want to miss that. We will also be chatting with NFL Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champion Mike Haynes. A loaded and fun-filled show tomorrow. You do not want to miss it. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to also to Rico Beard. Same time, same place tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and be easy, people.